and your photo is more important than ever. I don't mean the background image. That's nice when they get to your profile, but your picture, that smile and face is what they decide if they're going to open up the message and look at it at all or accept or whatever.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Leads to Growth. I'm your host, Chris McCoy, and what do you know? We got another amazing guest. I told you all this is going to happen every week, but hey, this is what happens. The best part is we got Mike O'Neill here, y'all. Y'all don't know Mike O'Neill yet, but you're going to very soon. Mike, thanks for joining us, sir.
Absolutely, Chris. Great to be here. It was sure fun chatting, getting going here, wasn't it?
So much. Man, Mike and I have not been able to shut up. And that's why I told him, like, hey, when I had our first conversation, I was like, I got to get you on the podcast, man. This guy's a two times Forbes top 50 social media power influencer, worldwide honor. This guy has been a LinkedIn expert before you knew what LinkedIn was. And now he coaches and trains executives, entrepreneurs, business owners, people all over the world. He does it here. He does it there. He does it in Costa Rica. This guy is living the dream and having fun and helping people do the same. Mike, thank you so much for joining us and for coming to share some knowledge with us, sir.
You're welcome. I've become a bit of a digital nomad, being able to do the work I love to do, but from doing it in a place I love to be.
I love that. you're stacking benefits there, huh?
Yeah. And now with someone I want to be with as well.
I mean,
stack it up a little bit, you know.
There you go.
A little bit of rock and roll music in there. And
I love it. I love it. So Mike and I ended up on the phone the best possible way. Like, Mike was a referral from somebody else, and we were talking about some lead gen. And when we got on the phone together, Mike led the way I love people to lead. He led with value. Mike started sharing some of his insights with me. Before I paid for any service or anything, Mike started telling me this and that, and all these little things. I was like, you know what? We need to share this with our audience, because I believe all of us are out there working on LinkedIn, but we're not getting the value out of it. I believe that we could or should. And Mike's got a lot of lessons. So, Mike, how did you get into being this LinkedIn guru and expert? I mean, Mike's books. Listen, this guy wrote books on LinkedIn, but 7 and 10 years ago. But like, he's onto the blogs and the conversations. Now things are evolving so fast. How did you get into this world?
It was May 4th, 2004.
May the fourth be with you.
And an email came in to me, and it said, "Join me on LinkedIn." It was like, what? Right? What? I knew what MySpace was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so I had a reference of comparison, and my friend from California, from San Francisco, where LinkedIn is founded, right? You know, my friend was in the know with mm-hmm. folks there and stuff. And I'll share Dan Outcall. You can download your LinkedIn connection data. And it has a date connected call. And you can see who your first connection was. Because Dan was mine. Okay. And from that point on, I was thirsty for knowledge.
Mm.
None to be had. Damn thing. Anywhere. Go to YouTube and type in LinkedIn and you didn't find a damn thing. Seriously.
Yeah.
Whoa. So I had been a trainer before that, sort of. I was a sales engineer in the telecom world, in the technology space.
Yeah.
And I led a sales team where I had to train them every Friday for a lunch and learn, right?
Oh, yeah. The good old lunch and learn.
Friday pizza. I get up on the whiteboard and I'm drawing how our T1 product connects to their network, how it provides a security layer, all this kind of telecom stuff. So my team was well-equipped to do stuff.
Sure.
And I was forced upon to help roll out Salesforce.com to this team.
Mm.
This is 2001, 2002 era, you know, 2003, 2004. And all of a sudden, you're into the time where LinkedIn is coming out, mm-hmm. right? And I after 9/11, lost my job once, lost my job again, you know, a couple years later. you know, because you couldn't buy a technology job after 9/11. Everyone's just the order cancellation department was hiring. That was it. Because there was no new sales going on. Everyone's renegotiating down. Well, LinkedIn came along and, you know, I had this experience of training people on Salesforce.com.
Mm-hmm.
And that was so easy to translate over to LinkedIn in the early days where you couldn't do much, quite frankly.
Since Salesforce is a beast, complex in all in every which area. So yeah, might have been even an easier step.
That.
Yeah.
So it's become more of a beast now than it was then. Salesforce was not as big of a beast when it started, like LinkedIn was not as big of a beast. They both become, you know, much bigger than anyone had ever anticipated.
Yeah.
No Absolutely. One ever thought Salesforce was going to be this big, nor LinkedIn, as we say, LinkedIn.
LinkedIn.
my girlfriend's from Spain, and we were just in Costa Rica together for 4 or 5 weeks or so. She got a lot of training in, and more, of course, but a lot of training in. And she says LinkedIn, and other parts around the world, they use that terminology. And I don't correct him anymore. I used to correct him, but I just go,
my German and Austrian friends always say LinkedIn. And, oh, okay, sure, whatever. It's beautiful.
I'm sure there's third or fourth ways to say that somewhere along the way. And in the early days, you know, within by 2-3 months later, I'm getting paid $500 to show people how to use LinkedIn. To sit down with them for an afternoon, hammer out their profile that didn't have many sections in it. There weren't company pages. There weren't pictures. There weren't images. There weren't posts. Weren't. You know?
Yeah.
But what there was search. Okay. And the original LinkedIn search was pretty good. It's pretty good. Had a lot of fields in it. You know, then they made it only certain fields were for the paid premium people. And, you know, but in the early days, at the very start, you could do quite a bit. They didn't know what it was going to be. So everything's turned on.
Sure.
No premium features or anything. It's just all because what makes LinkedIn so different from the others, from Facebook and Twitter, is it's a subscription model. You can't buy Facebook. You can't pay monthly for Facebook. So that's a revenue stream that Facebook doesn't have, that Twitter doesn't have, that name it doesn't have. I mean, Salesforce does, others. They've got that bucket of revenue. In the early days, the big bucket of users were recruiters.
Mm-hmm.
And the recruiters in San Francisco. So I'm user number 125,841. 125.
Wow.
And there's a little trick. It's called view source. If you go to a profile and do view source and look for the word member or member ID or some combination of that, you can find out what your number is or anyone's number.
Hmm.
And it's serialized.
Interesting.
And I know people with very low numbers, okay? Double-digit numbers.
Wow.
And along the way, I got known at LinkedIn headquarters. Mostly for violating rules.
I've kind of figured that about you, Mike.
You know, a little bit. But a venture group that I was involved in, a venture capital group that I was really good buds with, I was a regular, invited the founder of LinkedIn to come speak. The Rockies Venture Club. And he did. And I was his boy. Reid Hoffman. One of the wealthiest people in the whole world. Yep. I mean, he founded PayPal and LinkedIn and all. I mean, the big venture guy.
Did he go on to Netflix as well to partner and start the Netflix as well, I believe?
I wouldn't doubt that at all. He's the kind of guy, and Netflix is a California kind of thing. He lives here. So I was with him for the day and got pictures with him and stuff. And he had phones out. This is 2007. Okay. And he had devices and phones all laid out in front of him. Like he couldn't, and he had to pack them up in a bag and go somewhere. So, you know, wow, this is kind of cool. And I invited him to connect on LinkedIn and he wouldn't connect with me because I was doing something cute at the time.
Okay.
It was cute at the time to put your email address in with your last name. The powers that be thought that that was the thing to do. and I was one of them. I still am. He wouldn't connect with me. He said, and I was right there. He had his device and stuff. We're right there. And I had a choice. I made the worst decision I ever made in my life.
Oh.
Take it out and say, I'm sorry, Reed. I'm sorry. I'll never do it again. You know, please connect with me. Or leave it in. And it remained. And I missed the best connection I could have ever had. Ever. I had second best. I got a better one. Okay. You've got to be able to bend. I guess my rule there is, you know, bend for the person, you know, I mean, I could have changed it later on down the road if I wanted to.
Mike, for all those people out there who are maybe dabbling in LinkedIn, who aren't as savvy, what is the value and power of a connection? I mean, I'm someone's friends on Facebook or something like that. It doesn't give me any too much power or significance. What's the value in LinkedIn there?
Well, it depends on who they are and stuff. Let's put people in different buckets.
Mm.
Okay. So a connection might be valuable to you because they might be a good partner, someone who sells something that goes well with what I sell.
We're in the business world here now. Yes.
I'm selling hardware. They're selling software. That general principle, you know, you could go down that whole list. Okay. So there's one bucket of people.
Mm-hmm.
Another bucket of people are folks that might be customers. Okay. Mm-hmm. Might need what you have. And that doesn't mean that they couldn't be both.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. People can be more than one bucket of stuff. You connect with people who you just enjoy. You and me, Chris. I mean, even you weren't involved in you know, Leads to Growth, we'd be buds no matter what.
Absolutely.
Because we like each other.
Yeah.
So there's an enrichment, a personal mm-hmm. enrichment that comes. And as you get older, that personal enrichment is more important. It isn't how many customers you die with. It's who's with you during the last part of your life that you enjoy. Mm-hmm. It's not that. Now, when customers are friends, that's what we're looking for, right, Chris? We're looking for customers who would be friends if they weren't customers. We'd still have a relationship no matter what.
Absolutely. And I think one of the other great buckets or great pieces is in LinkedIn, because this is a business, the resources or connections that I get with that connection, right? My reach increases on LinkedIn when this happens, doesn't it?
That's correct. Now, it used to be in the older days, and I can talk about older days more than anybody you'll ever have on your call. Okay. That networks weren't so cross pollinated.
Okay.
So you would connect with one person and your network size would explode if you connected with me or some other folks.
Sure.
A little bit less so nowadays.
Okay.
A little bit less so because so many people are over 1,000 connections. So many. Mm. And that's really, you want to be over 1,000 connections. Try to get there. Get to 500 quickly and then conservatively find folks that enrich your life through business, through personal reasons. They post good stuff. They look good with earbuds around their ears. Whatever it is. But don't be afraid to say no to people too. I say no to 3/4 of the folks, maybe more. They reach out to me now, especially when they're trying to sell me something that I sell to other people. It's like, mm-hmm. did you not look? You don't have Sales Navigator, do you? Is what I say to those people sometimes. You don't have SNAV, as we call it. Because that Sales Navigator is an add-on product that came out about less than 10 years ago. And that's what I've been fully focused on. When that came out, that's all I do. My profile says Sales Navigator Experts at the top.
Absolutely.
Because without that tool, you're hindered. And I'm not a hindered kind of, I'm not going to show folks how to do LinkedIn with one hand behind your back. That's shooting yourself in the foot.
Yep. Absolutely. So let's say I want to get started with LinkedIn. I want to start building a LinkedIn account, or you're mostly talking, people you work with are entrepreneurs, B2B people, people looking to generate income from these resources or sales or relationships, correct?
Yeah, for the most part.
Yeah.
That's a good statement.
Awesome. And so as what are some common mistakes that you see people doing on LinkedIn when they're really trying to engage and leverage this great tool, what are some mistakes they do that as you say, shoot themselves in the foot often?
Reaching out to the wrong people. That's the biggest mistake. Okay. Number one. Well, actually, let's go to number point five.
Okay.
not looking ready.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But I don't want to come on your show and talk about profiles, but you know, your profile's got to look good and up to date and your picture's got to look nice. And the headline in your profile has got to stand out. Okay. So there's something new. Everyone says, oh, you got to have profile, this and that. The headline and your photo. Bang. Headline and photo.
Headline and photo.
People are evaluating you by those two things more than ever before. Okay. And so much of LinkedIn, there's less, or there's two, you know, that's something you're fully in control of that. There's a lot of things you cannot control. There's an algorithm that's going to determine how many people see that. Mm-hmm. But what they see, that's something else. And your photo is more important than ever. I don't mean the background image. That's nice when they get to your profile, but your picture, that smile and face is what they decide if they're going to open up the message and look at it at all or accept or whatever. Okay. So that's number point five.
So smiling face, an original headline. Would you say original or something that stands out, correct?
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah. I wouldn't over emoji it, but a little emojiism comes into play here.
Yep. Definitely.
I use a blue ski diamond. Because I'm okay. A blue sphere kind of guy. I don't use the black one. There's nice. A red one, by the way. There's a red one. But an emoji helps. Okay. There's an example. Okay. Not a lot, but in a little bit of that. Okay.
I like that.
And in your headline, there's only so much that they get to see
mm-hmm.
before they got to click a button to see more, or it's cut off and they can't see it at all.
Just like an email. Yeah.
So think about the beginning, how much you get to see before any other action. Really important. But that's point five. Okay. 1.0 is who you're targeting. Who would enjoy hearing from me? Think about it that way. Not who would I love to reach out to. That's one way. That's this way. But who would enjoy hearing from me?
Oh, interesting perspective.
Because it's up to them. You can ask out all the women at the dance, but it's up to them. It's up to them.
Absolutely.
So of all the women at the dance, who's most interested in me? Who's checking me out? Or who's the right height? Or whatever it is. Okay. Use that example now in LinkedIn. Who cares about what I got to say?
Hmm.
Who looks like someone I'm already working with so I can name drop and talk in the first person about projects that they might be having?
So you're saying when I first started LinkedIn, I shouldn't start going for the dimes, the 10 pieces, the knockouts right off the bat. I should maybe hit where I'm playing.
No.
Okay.
No, you can. LinkedIn is a place to aim higher, but look like you're worthy of being.
But if you're going to
at the head table instead of the second table.
I like that. So if you're going to play up, make sure that you represent somebody who'd play up, who they would play with. Right.
You're fully in control of what you say.
I like it.
You can't control what other people say about you necessarily, but you don't have to, you know, people are going to see what you put in front of them. People mm-hmm. are going to see what you put in front of them. So
absolutely.
The next thing was targeting. We call it targeting. Okay. So you're going to, and this is where Sales Navigator comes in.
Mm-hmm. This is where you dropped some gold for me the other day.
Yeah. You create lists. And people can be on more than one list. You can be frequent and urgent. It's been like frequently and urgently. You know, you can be both. Okay. So the list lets you take people out of a search, perhaps, where everyone qualifies to some level onto a list where they only the qualified people are there and everyone else is scrubbed.
Mm-hmm.
Scrubbed. Okay? So that's where you start with a search and deal with lists. Okay. You got 1,000 people in a search on LinkedIn, 2,500 in Sales Navigator.
Okay.
So it's more designed for bulk action, as you might say. And as you put people on lists, you can run another search and say, just show me people that are not on any list, only the new ones.
Oh, okay.
There's this intelligence that keeps coming out in another, you know, or show me people who don't have these words in their profile. Only have these words, don't have these words. Only in this county. Oh, counties now. Yes. That's big, big new stuff. You could search on cities, zip codes in Sales Navigator, countries, but now counties. And if you're using Sales Navigator for targeting, I'm got most of my clients using counties now.
Because you're getting better cluster groups with those counties.
LinkedIn
correct?
Takes their zip code and assigns them to a county.
Okay.
That zip code, that county.
Finito.
And like in the Twin Cities here, I happen to know that the counties that go up and down the freeway are really nice, but the stuff to the sides of the freeway, not so much. So you can do counties or zip codes along the freeway or counties, but counties are mutually exclusive and zip code stuff is not. So if I do Maricopa County and then I do Parsippanis County, there's nobody in both.
Okay.
So when you're doing your outreach, it's really nice to have mutually exclusive things.
Keep separate people in separate lists.
One, if you do it right, if you do states or counties, not cities, but states and counties, you're good. When you're dealing with cities, there's all this, you know, suburban stuff that makes it kind of difficult. And are they in or out? You know, counties, different thing. So there's a big gem if you're going to go to Sales Navigator. Okay. Now,
interesting.
I'll share that anyone who has Sales Navigator can give someone else 2 free months of Sales Navigator. It's at the top of your Sales Navigator screen in the upper right corner, says referrals. I've given my 10 out already. But I can go to a client account and stuff. But you can only give out 2 free months of service to someone who you're connected to.
Okay.
So, but that's
a nice little free gift. Yeah.
My clients
conversation.
That are eligible. If you've already gotten a free account before in the past, you're not eligible.
Yeah.
But for folks who've not gotten a freebie yet from LinkedIn, and that's worth $200. $100 a month now for this program.
So. Yeah. It's a nice little gift for someone to open up a conversation even. Yeah.
Yep. So I mentioned targeting and stuff. Another really big part about targeting, this mutually exclusive principle, is really important because it means today I'm going to do these folks and tomorrow I'm going to do those folks and they're not going to be the same people.
Mm-hmm.
Tomorrow might be next week or next month or whenever this list is done. Let me go to this list.
Sure.
Industries are the other.
Mutually exclusive.
You have one zip code and one industry and go from there. No one has 2. No one has 0. So if you're doing like a campaign that's just locally in your town, you can split it up by industries to kind of take this week, next week, split it up. And when you're doing such a thing, Chris, you can say, let's group the technology people together. But then we can use important thing number 3. Okay. So number two now. Technically the third one, but you know, we had 0.5, 1, and now 2.
Yes.
And that is, what are you gonna say to these people?
Mm-hmm. Messaging.
What are you gonna do or say to get their attention? So it's kind of nice if your profile's slanted their way. If you're targeting technology people, dropping a tech word in your headline would be nice for now.
Mm-hmm.
Put in the word stack in there, full stack, or some VoIP, or you know, some term out there, because you're targeting tech folks.
They
like to see that stuff. Okay. This is where the game is won now. This isn't how you can learn to play. This is how you learn to win. Okay. Because it's an overcrowded place and you're competing for attention, and people want to know that the folks that they're spending their time with, you know, have something in common with them. Can help them fix problem, got something in common, cool, whatever it is.
Yeah.
Okay. So those messages that you're going to do to connect with them and then say things to them afterwards need to kind of sound like they're not too fabricated.
Mm-hmm.
Like they don't fit everyone out there. They fit me. I must be on a really small list because you're talking about toucans. Okay. talking about toucans, okay? How many people could you be talking toucans to that got one?
Okay.
You mentioned toucan, you got me. 30 minutes of free time with me if you mention the word toucan in a message. Absolutely. Costa Rica, whatever it is. Because you look at folks and find out what's most important to them, and then you feed it back to them. Now, you skip some people along the way. Because, I don't do real well with people who... I'm wearing a sport fishing shirt, but frankly, I don't really sport fish. But it says Costa Rica, okay? So you don't have me at fishing. But you won't find anything about fishing on my profile.
Mm.
You'll find stuff about rock and roll music, about Costa Rica, about digital nomads, about LinkedIn campaigns, about Sales Navigator. And if you mention some of that to me, which makes it really nice for manual one-on-one campaigns to do that high personalization.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So you put people on lists in Sales Navigator, you personalize these interactions with them. And the list shows you what's going on too. When was the last time you contacted them? There's a lot of CRM kind of support in Sales Navigator or outright CRM activity there. Okay. Now, some folks will say, well, let's put those folks in a list. I don't want to individualize it too much. It's just people who also like Brené Brown. I've got a client who targets Brené Brown lovers.
Okay.
Okay. Ken has a book.
Great mindset speaker.
Yeah. Ken has a book coming out that he thinks is going to appeal to Brené Brown lovers. And it will. Same mindset. So for now, we're targeting Brené Brown lovers. And I don't need to say anything more than the word Brené Brown and they connect. 50% up connect.
Mm.
And we're using systems to do that because I don't need to I don't need to do anything personal. It could, that part can be mechanized. So, and that's part of where you kind of, when you're an expert for so long, you learn when do you got to do it really manual and mm-hmm. where can you use a riding lawnmower instead of pushing the damn thing? Okay.
Now, how do you separate those leads on your list? Is it a rating scale where you're like, hey, look, these are very high profile and I'm going to personalize these ones. And these ones are, you know what, they're on a lower scale. I can reach out to them a little bit more automatically.
Yeah. You put them on separate lead lists.
Makes sense.
Yep. You've got the A's and the B's. That's what I do. I call them A's and B's.
A's and B's. I like it.
So for example, I've got a trip to Costa Rica coming up, right? And I've identified 195 people that I think might be interested in joining me on this trip.
196.
There are six. Yeah, you're on this other list. There are 60 of them that are extremely interested. Okay. And they are on two lead lists. They're on the main lead list that has 195 and this other one that's only got one over here that's only got 60, 61
mm-hmm.
now.
Okay.
And I can target one list and specifically not the other list and do this sort of dicing and slicing if you kind of know what you're doing. And that's what my coaching clients learn is how to internalize and dice and slice on their own.
Mm.
You know, some folks don't want to learn too much. They just want to deal with the, you know, just show me my leads, you know, that kind of thing. So they're in another bucket. But the combination of picking who you want to work with is really great. I don't have that many years left. I'm going to work 10 more years. Not even that. I'm 62. You know, maybe five, maybe three. We'll see. But having not just more customers, but better customers, ones who inspire you, who have the same values. We have the same values, you and I. We found that out early on.
Absolutely.
That's how you want to live the last third of your life. Surrounded by people that are not constantly, not in a negative way. I don't mean a negative way, but folks that inspire you to get on that call. You get on 5 minutes early for the call with Chris because you can't wait to see him.
I love what you're saying. It's almost like you spend the first third of your life trying to figure out who you are and what it is that you like and what's important to you. Then you spend the next third trying to figure out what that looks like in the world and how other people are experiencing that. Then you spend the last third going, oh, who are the people that I enjoyed being that my best self with and help me feel like my best self? And let me go find and spend more time with them.
Yeah. Who would I want to wind it down with? Because at some point we're not going to be working. And who do we want to remember, you know?
It's the same way we work on these leads. Same way we generate these lists for leads, right? So qualify.
You mentioned lead score.
Yes.
You mentioned something to that effect, okay?
Yes, sir, yeah.
And these lead lists are used for lead scoring very many times. So when someone responds and says thumbs up, that's a lead score of, well, let's say when they connect first, that's a lead score of 10 out of 100. They connected.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If they respond back and say thumbs up, that moves them up to a 20 on a lead score. When they say, boy, that sounds great, maybe 25. But when they say, tell me more, now we're moving up, right? And at some point in time, they say, let's have a call. Now they're, and you move on up to the top. And some people use those lead lists as lead scores, kind of like you do stages in the deal. And they just move them off of one and onto another. And there's a simple way to add to another list and take off of this list and just move them along.
All within Sales Navigator?
Yeah.
Or yeah, is there really?
Yeah.
No
yeah.
kidding.
And you get 10,000 leads, Chris. 10,000. I've only had two clients fill up. Seriously. And so we had to start deleting, you know, FIFO, right? Had to start getting rid of the oldest ones that are from years ago, literally. So you're really not going to run out of leads there and stuff. And it's not how many people are on lists, it's how many leads there are. So if I'm on four lead lists, I'm only one lead.
Mm-hmm.
I'm on four lists, but I'm only one unique person.
Sure.
So it's 10,000 unique people you can put on lists.
Very interesting. And they're all there and they're all scrubbable and they're all that you can pull. Like, so you can find them by pulling their data. I mean, it's all basically for that included in that Sales Navigator fee. I believe the challenge where people lose it is in that outreach. You know, it's
correct. Just, it's a combination of things too. That outreach is either a profile looks good, they targeted the right people, and they got the message that's for that audience. It's a 1, 2, 3. It's a 3
yeah.
side. The fourth part on the tool is whether I do it manually or systematically or whatever. And there's a little bit of accountability buddy stuff that comes into play. I have weekly calls with my clients. Mm-hmm. So they know if they don't do their stuff, I'm gonna bring that up next week's call.
And a lot of it, that's what it is the accountability. Because it's just do the work. It's just put the energy and the time in. The rest is it produces the results.
Yeah. So when someone invites you to connect, let's turn it around. Okay.
Inbound. There we go.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So someone invites you to connect. This is what you should do. First of all, look and see if they said anything in their message. Does the message look personalized in any way? I mean, like really personalized, not like personalized to my list, you know, but personalized to me, the ultimate personality, you know, Arizona State University, toucans, iPhone, whatever it is, sport fishing, something that doesn't fit the next person you couldn't say that to.
Sure.
Okay. Give them the highest regard. Okay. Pay close attention to them. Look at their profile. Try to find some way to make something happen with them, at least to see if there's some way that we might have a call that would be meaningful for either one of us.
Reciprocate
the value
they deliver.
Even if I don't know the reason why it's meaningful, it just might be meaningful in some way, shape, or form. Might be fun. Might be fun. Okay. You were part of the might be fun category.
Yeah. Okay. My man.
Okay. Okay. The next bunch of people are people that have included any kind of a message at all. Okay. Okay. And does that message seems to kind of fit me? I'm like to talk to business owners in the world. Okay, that's different than dealing with, you know, technology folks in Minnesota. Okay. It's not all the way to personal, but it's not all the way up here. You know, it shows a little bit of effort.
Sure.
Of effort. Give them guidance too. Okay. Give them a good look too. And think, why not? Why not? And there may be reasons why not. Okay. There may be reasons. Okay. And then comes the third category of people that send the message that just could fit absolutely anybody. Okay. I look a lot less at that because they tend to be trying to sell me something that I sell myself. I'm kind of in the business a little bit, but if you were using a Sales Navigator lead list, you would scrub me from it. And you're not, you're just putting a bulk search in. Everybody at fights, you know, and that's the difference with how I do things. How we do things is we scrub people that don't need to be there.
No. And you said it very beautifully too, because I will reciprocate the appreciation of a good message, even if I'm not looking in, even if I don't have time, even if I'm busy, I'll reciprocate it. I'll give them a response. And I potentially, like you said, I may even take the meeting, even if it's something that I don't see myself interested in, because I respect the game and the skill and the attention that they put into getting on the phone with me.
You never know where that call could go, Chris.
Exactly.
Look at you and I. You're probably going to come down to Costa Rica with me, and who knows? Wouldn't know who you were 2 weeks ago. Okay.
Absolutely.
So it can go that way.
There's another button. Sales and relationships. That's everything. That's trusting, and that's how you get good intent and good. And I love that you said that too, because when you're reaching out to people, how you treat people that reach out to you is how people will treat you when you reach out to them. That karma is real. So putting out good karma to take care of people and accept them and to listen to them and encourage them when they reach out to you will help you get a better response and put out better energy to when you're putting those messages out to others. So, all right.
Now, there are some people who put out a message with no words at all.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't discount them.
Okay.
Don't discount them. Okay. They may be on a phone and had discovered you, and it's just not convenient to start writing a message on a phone and stuff. Pay attention to those folks too. Okay. I'm in a situation where I have to delete people to add them. So my situation's a little bit unique. I've been at 30,000 connections since 2009.
Wow. So you're max at 30,000. That's why you don't accept every friendship request that comes in, y'all.
That's right. That's right. Cause I gotta spend 45 seconds finding someone else to delete to make room for you.
Mm.
And I do it in bulk, and I like to do it in bulk, usually during football season. I sit and watch football game, and you gotta go to their profile, click the more button, go to remove connection, and then take that one out and go back. And you know, it takes 45 seconds a piece. You can do 100 in an hour, 100 in an hour. So that's not enough room to do a lot.
No,
you know, football games, 2 hours, and a whole football game, I get 200 done to football. So
that probably frees up another couple of days for you.
I have a follow button on my profile now, not a connect button.
Okay.
I'm in a mode called creator mode.
Yes, I entered that recently as well. Yes.
Yep. The nice thing about creator mode for you and I, Chris, is it shows the number of followers. You don't see 500 plus. In my case, you see 33,000.
Mm.
In your case, you see what it was. A big number. You got a good size number. You get to see that, and it gives you more cred.
Yeah.
You get more cred.
It is, because that's something that I look at when I'm bringing a podcast guest on, when I'm reaching out to somebody. You know, their experience or time spent or followers on LinkedIn is, you know, depending on who you're reaching out to. I guarantee you someone of significance who maybe sees a good message from you, we'll check that out on your page to see if it's congruent. And I think that's the interesting part is you got to be congruent. If you're going to send a great message out, make sure your page, your title, your image, make sure these are all congruent. Any type of incongruence when you're reaching up, they'll just shake you right off. Mike's not
they're looking for a reason to say no, and don't give it to them. Don't give it to them. Don't.
They're looking for a reason to say no. That's strong. I like that.
So let me give one little comment about pictures.
Oh, please, okay? Mike. Yeah.
Okay? So your picture in LinkedIn is off to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Don't be looking this way.
Mm-hmm.
Be looking in. Mm-hmm. I don't mean down necessarily, but be looking in, not away.
Sure.
And if your picture is looking away, you just take the picture, flip it horizontally, and load it up again, as long as you're not wearing a USA shirt that now says ASU. Okay. You know, if you want to, that's okay. But you're no longer promoting the country. You're promoting my old college. Okay? In that situation.
It makes a lot of sense.
It's a subtle little thing. And that's from an expert. Do you know how many experts in the space that I've known over 18 years of doing this?
My goodness.
I did 200 episodes. We had a radio show. I did 200 episodes, and we interviewed the experts all over the world back in 2007, 8, 9, 10. People who started really big companies or are multi-millionaires now have cashed out. And it was interviewing those people, and the knowledge you get from it very often before the call and after the podcast, before and after, where you're just chit-chatting about, I didn't want to say it to the whole world out there, but you know, I can get you 2 free months of Sales Navigator if you give me your email address or something. You don't always throw that out to the whole world out there. Sure. Although now, you know, I gave that one away.
Oh man, Mike, this is great. And I love the world that LinkedIn is. It feels like an extension of a networking room. You know, before COVID and quarantine, you know, there was, I would do a lot of networking. You would go to networking events, especially in the Midwest. You know, it's a very, you know, very heavy thing. What are you doing on a Wednesday or Friday? You go to these networking events. And when you go to a networking event and someone approaches you, hey, what do you do? Here's my card. You're like, oh, I don't even want to talk to you, to be honest with you. I'm over the conversation already. And that's the equivalent of somebody going, hey, here's what I do, with 3 paragraphs after they connect with me on LinkedIn. It's the same thing. And so it's become an extension of networking. It's become social dialogue and our response. You're responsible for these things.
So I'm going to a networking event tonight.
Nice.
Back in the game again. And I go 4 times a month. They have events spread around Minneapolis, and tonight it's over here instead of north, instead of whatever. Mm-hmm. And what I say to people when I meet them is, I say, what are you into? I just leave it wide open.
What are you into? What a great way to form that question.
And if they want to talk about work, great. You know, if you say it to me, Mike, what are you into?
Hey, Mike, what are you into?
I'm into working from wherever I want to work from for the rest of my life until I don't want to work anymore.
I could probably get 2 cans from Mike at some point. Hey, Mike, what are you into? Honestly, 2 cans, man. I love 2 cans right now. But you're going to get something authentic is what you're going to get.
Yes, that's right. And if they define they're into things that are business related, then go down that path and talk sure. business. If they want to talk about, well, the Twins, because we're in Minnesota Twins, because we're in playoff time, go down that path. But let them choose the method. And if they talk first, you lose.
Yeah.
Because you're already down one path or another. What are you into? Just try that.
I love that. And listen, this goes the same way in your LinkedIn messaging. Hey, Chris, I saw you attended such and such, or I saw you posted on such and such. Is that something you're into? Or do you spend a lot of time on that? Do you know more about that? Is it something you're interested in discussing? But like pointing out something unique and personal can be a fun conversation, especially when you're going to those one-to-ones. And I hate the question of what do you do? It's so off-putting. Yeah.
What are you into?
What are you into? I like that. From the LinkedIn, man, we get a little human connection tip here as well. Mike, where
you could say that I'm into Costa Rican beer. Okay.
was that Tecate? What is it?
No, Imperial.
Oh, I knew beer. Imperial. Yes, I knew that. I'm sorry.
The beer.
I knew Imperial. I bet. Mike, man, I'm definitely interested in coming down to Costa Rica. I love what you're doing down there. Where can everybody follow you, Mike? Where can they find you? Where can they find out more about you, man?
Well, I have a great spot for some resources and to book a call and stuff. Navigating LinkedIn. How's that? Navigating.
I don't think it could be any easier than that.
LinkedIn.com. And you can book a call there as well. But there's great stuff to download there, including a list of those pesky LinkedIn industries that I mentioned.
My man.
There's 385 of them, and you will never know about them unless you got this list. It has things, you know, they have women's handbag manufacturing now. They have sheet music publishing now.
Wow.
They have abrasives as an industry now. And if you're targeting, going after people, how are you supposed to know this stuff?
Sure.
Come from.
Exactly. And what a value.
Get from there, for sure. Get that from there.
And that industry is a great way to personalize. Everybody's always talking about personalization these days. This is a great way for you to chunk some outreach and give some personalization that will help you stand out from other people. And also use your mind, use your head on this. Don't send 7 paragraphs. Use something to engage them, to get some engagement from them first before you try to get them to set a meeting with you.
That's exactly right. Boy, you didn't learn that from me. You knew that before, but I just reinforced maybe a few things that a lot of your viewers, I knew that, but I didn't know that part. you crossed that bridge for me. You made it easier for me. Been thinking about Sales Navigator, heard about it. Now I can get 2 free months.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't I give it a try? Why not?
Absolutely. And listen,
you're going to get addicted to it. That's why, right?
You're going to not only going to get addicted, but you can construct and hold your business from anywhere in the world. You can build a business through this one platform and relationships that could last a lifetime. This is an extension of the real world in the business world. And if you don't know, I'm telling you, don't take the 5-6 years I've learned to accumulate all this information and finally start to figure it out. Go to someone like Mike, cut your learning curve and hedge your bets and get ahead of this and really start developing a place on LinkedIn, because it's not going anywhere. Same way Salesforce is larger than most business industries out there, LinkedIn is not going anywhere, and it's going to continue to evolve and continue to be a place of business. So if you don't have a place there now, talk to Mike, set something up.
We need to learn to adapt to it, because it is changing all the time. It really is. And it's not always changing for the better for users. You know, they're a for-profit company. And just remember that they're out there. They have shareholders in mind. They're not even for the best interest of LinkedIn. It's LinkedIn shareholders now.
Mm-hmm.
Microsoft shareholders now, actually.
Oh, really?
So, yeah, they're bought by Microsoft for $26 billion about 5 years ago. So the game is won on the edge, on the fringe, with the better lists, with the more refinement, the better ideas, the low-hanging fruit's gone.
And listen, it all starts with refining your list. This is what really pegged me to bring Mike on, because look, everybody's reaching out there. They're saying these big, giant, generic messages, but you're targeting a list of thousands and thousands of people. Shrink your list, get rid of the people that don't matter, because you're turning those people off and they'll never do business with you again. Yep. Focus on smaller lists and rinse and repeat and get better.
Think in terms of 100, 200, 300. That's the size list where you can put enough people together with the same language, and then do another one if you need to, another one if you need to. But don't go beyond that in general until you've really got something refined. You get something super refined, then you can just can it for the rest of the United States. I did 3 states, got it down. Now I'm going to do 47 more and just let it cook. But you got to really engineer really well if you're going to do that sort of thing, where you're going to put a big list in at some point in time, because there's lots of false positives.
Mm-hmm.
False positives that happen.
Refine your list, y'all. Refine your list. Make sure that you leverage these counties. Make sure you leverage the industries. Go to Mike's website,
Navigating LinkedIn.
Navigating LinkedIn. I almost said something else. I don't want to say it wrong. NavigatingLinkedIn.com, and make sure you get that list of industries and reach out for a call. You don't know what you don't know, but I promise you, you do it the right way, Mike will let you know. Mike, thank you so much, man. We're going to continue this conversation after this podcast is over. But hey, y'all, thank you so much. Make sure you follow Mike. Make sure that you go check us out at Leads to Growth. Leave the 5 stars at the bottom if you enjoyed the podcast. And we'll see you on the next one. We're National Association of Sales Professionals, and we're honored to bring you all kinds of action that leads to growth, y'all. We'll see you on the next one.